Actually, I'm not a marketing expert or anything. I never knew how much it costs to do marketing. I always thought it would cost a lot. But we just proved that with very little money, you can really achieve a lot.
Welcome to Inner Podcast. My name is Khalil Bauer, head of Espace Lab. In this episode, you will meet Julie Magmuth. Julie and her team launched the Swiss Authentic Shop, an internal startup at Swiss Post delivering the authentic Swiss taste to the world. Like in every good story, Julie will share the highs and lows and of course what she learned about the struggles and the success you may have when you launch your own startup inside a large corporate. Julie was born in UK, lived in many countries. She started her career as software engineer at IBM. After serving in several roles in UK, Sweden, and the United States, she joined Swisscom in 2000 as senior software engineer and changed 2013 to Swiss Post as deputy head of the innovation at our IT department. Follow the Inner Podcast on your podcast app and enjoy this special episode about an Espace Lab project. And Julie will start with her experiences when she founded her first startup, Starfruit.
Yeah, Starfruit was also, well, it's a cool name, yeah, Starfruit. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the reason. We decided to set up a shop in virtual world, so it was in Second Life, where people could give presents to their virtual friends. So we were working then together with Flurop and Lind. And in the Second Life, if you had a virtual girlfriend, you could give her a gift voucher, and then in the real world, she would receive a flower or chocolate. Unfortunately, then the market changed, and the business didn't support the three of us. So then we moved on, but it was a great experience. And also, I think people at the time, they didn't have money to spend on virtual friends, and they continued to use it in the real world to spend on their real partners. And we had one situation also where someone gave a flower to his virtual friend and the real partner found out. And there were some social problems there. So
well, when the digital world hits the real world or something like that. Yeah. Okay, as everybody noticed, we do this whole episode in English, though we are both work at Swiss Post, but this is very simple. We both feel some kind in the English language more comfortable, let's put it this way. You were born in UK, you were raised and lived in Holland, Belgium, Switzerland, and in Texas in the United States. You studied computer science in Sheffield, you did your master in Manchester, and started your career as a software engineer at IBM. You had several roles in different companies in the UK, Sweden, USA, before you founded Starfruit and Bern. In 2000, you joined Swisscom as a senior software engineer, had several senior positions there before you changed to Swiss Post in 2013 as deputy head of innovation at our IT department. And now you're the co-lead with Nicole Steck as head of the innovation unit at the logistics services. So far, this is something we should know about you. And just to put it in a nutshell, our today's topic, what is the Swiss Authentic Shop?
Yeah, the Swiss Authentic Shop, people who live abroad and have a connection to Switzerland will be able to easily order everything that they want from Switzerland, authentic Swiss products, via an online store. But whatever they pay in the shop is the final price, so they don't have to worry about customs or paying shipping costs later on. They pay 10 francs and then they will get their order at home and there won't be any additional cost.
Let's go deeper in that. What I always thought is it's not really very surprising that a logistic company like Swiss Post starts its own web shop. It's some kind of obvious that a logistic company do that. But specifically in this case, why did Swiss Post decided, yeah, this could be something cool, give it a try?
Well, actually, this project goes back a long way. It started with talking to someone in Basel and talking to people at ex-Asendia and Post-Logistics. And it came from a merchant who actually wanted to be able to market and send his products abroad, but also track where they were, because he was actually at the time delivering to China. And a lot of the products went missing or things like that. And this is where the whole idea started. So we actually started with blockchain, and then we ended up with an online shop. And yeah, that's how innovation is. That's how ideas continue. But we wanted to very fast see if this idea was something. That's why we decided to use an online platform that already existed and not spend a lot of money and time creating our own. And yeah, that's where we are today. Our shop is online.
To get it right, so there were some internally people at Swiss Post or their daughter companies, people who had this issue of like sending stuff somewhere to the world, but also be able to track them, what the heck happened with that?
Yeah, there were some, actually that wasn't over Swiss Post, but we were talking to some merchants and they had the problem themselves. So they wanted to see if Swiss Post could maybe help there. Yeah.
How did you know which products you need to have in a web shop when you more or less aiming for the whole world?
Yeah, this is a good question. There are many typical Swiss products like cheese and chocolate that everyone knows about. And on the other hand, there are also wooden cows and so all this kind of touristy stuff. But we actually worked together with an external marketing company where they interviewed around 400 people in France, in the UK, in Germany and in the USA to see what kind of products they want, what they're missing from Switzerland. These were expats, so people who are Swiss by birth, and also tourists, people who went to Switzerland and, of course, because of the pandemic, they couldn't come here anymore, but they want their Swiss stuff. So this was how we started from this market study. And then during the project, we had help from various product managers and different merchants, and also Migros told us which are the best sold products on their shop. And then we kind of developed the whole assortment as the time went on.
So it was based on an external study someone did?
Yeah, because...
Is the study specifically... did you give the study out to some kind of agency or whatever?
Yes, we did.
Only for this project? Or is this something in part of a general...
No, it was for this project
research.
Because...
Okay.
It went over a long time and people wanted to make sure within Swiss Post that it wasn't just some idea that we had and that we would like to do, but that actually on the open market, people actually want those products.
Okay, may I ask how expensive is such a study?
Yeah, such a study, you pay around 7,000 francs for that.
7,000?
Yes.
Okay, that's all right.
This is something that international, they're really based, they have panels in all these countries, so they could do it quite fast. And we really wanted the results by the end of May at that time, so they only had 2 weeks to do it. So actually they offered us a higher price and we managed to get it down to 7,000. But in the end it worked out great. And the study came back that 80% of the people interviewed, they really want Swiss products. So then it was a done deal. We
cool.
could have the money to start here.
Very good. You already mentioned merchants. You already mentioned Miko. I know also like Cambly is a company you partnered up with. What I was wondering, why don't they start a web shop, an international web shop on their own?
Well, Cambly, as you know, has their own web shop. And they also have social media sites and they have everything. But it's all very Swiss based. And at the moment, they don't export to other countries. So it's very important for them to reach the world. And they actually advertised for us on their website and said, if you want to send gifts to your friends abroad, then please go to our partner Swiss Authentic Shop. So this worked out very well. And for them to be able to ship to the world, then they have to handle logistics, they have to handle returns, they have to handle what can they send where? In certain countries, you can't send certain things and has to be a certain weight. There are many, many logistic problems that you need to have. And I think they also have a huge market just in Switzerland. So I think at the moment they're involved with that and they're happy to partner with us.
So what I understood is you made a study and you found out that you said 80% of those people you interviewed, or this agency interviewed, in several countries, they want Swiss products. So Swiss people or Swiss-loving people who live somewhere in the world, they want these products. And the study, you get it in 2 weeks for 7,000 francs, was a pretty good thing. And I understood that other partners or competitors, potentially competitors, they didn't do start their own webshop because they just focusing on the Swiss market so far. Probably they will in future focus on other markets as well, but for this time they're just focusing on the Swiss market. If you can think back and share a little bit, what were your ideas and thoughts of what kind of struggles you might have when you start your own, basically your own startup inside a large corporation like Swiss Post?
Well, we're lucky here at Swiss Post because we have this early label. But still, I thought until we actually go online, there are going to be a lot of things that we have to do. We had to talk to legal, to car, to all these people.
Hold on. To legal and
and communication services. Cool. And we had to talk to IT, and we had to talk to brand management, and we had to make sure the cookie banner was okay. There were many things that we had to do before we were allowed to go online, because the difference is if you start up by yourself, you don't have this huge organization behind you, which is on one hand bad because you don't have the financial support. But on the other hand, you have to make sure that when you go online, even though we went online as Swiss Authentic Shop and not Swiss Post, still behind the scenes is Swiss Post. So we have to do something serious. And also one of the feedbacks we got from the customer was that, well, of course, Swiss Post is behind, so we know it's going to arrive. Which in most cases it did, so we're happy with that.
When you want to start your own project, especially in large corporations, or you want to start your own startup, you usually need to have a good team, and you have to have people who are awesome, who can help you, who are good at things that you, by your own skills, you are not. So you have to have this amazing team. Who are these people, and how did you find them, and how did you manage to make them help you?
Well, I think I'm very lucky to have so many amazing people around me who they listen to me and then they say, yeah, but not all of them agree with me, but they're happy to work with me. So that's good. Actually, when the idea started, it was together with Patrick Wolf from Exascendia. But he was quite busy, so he wasn't able to work on the project, only a few hours and things. And Robert Keppeli from IT, who is now, luckily for him, retired. And together we pushed this to the first funding round. So that was great, the three of us. We had many long, intensive hours doing that. But after that, actually we were a small team of just five people. And everyone is very flexible, but they have somehow this inner fire. Which is very important, I think. They're happy to help, even if it's outside hours. They think, yeah, we should do this. Or we had a WhatsApp group, and sometimes we would talk very late at night or things like that. And not that you have to work all your time, but I think everyone kind of felt there's something there. We need to move forward. And this really helped. To the people themselves, we had Philippe and Katerina. They started as coaching the whole team. But with time, they got into the marketing and advertising, and we got some great influencer on board, and they really had great connections within the organization. So they always had new ideas, and we also did some gift wrapping for people and stuff, and they really got into the spirit of the whole project. And then another thing, we had Alain, he's the product manager. Actually, that's a funny story. It was his first day at Swiss Post. And I was really looking for someone to do product management for me. And I asked him, would you like to work on my project? And of course, it's his first day. Of course, he said yes. He had no clue really what he was getting into. Okay. But I think he came to love the project. And although he's very busy, he still had time for our project. And that was great. That kind of happened. And he is a product manager. So it was great. And he wants to work further on the project. And then we come to Urs. Yeah, actually, we were having lunch, and he said he's looking for some new projects. And I thought, yeah, I need someone to manage the logistics and all that. And at the time, we didn't know how complicated it would be or anything. But he said, oh, yeah, I like processes, fixing processes and things. I will do that. So I was so happy that he could be there and take over the whole thing. And yeah, he had to fill in FDA forms to send stuff to the US, but he never complained, even though he had to call customer care a lot. And talk to various people in various languages, and
it was great.
That was really funny. And we mustn't forget Isabel, even though she's now on away until March, because she had a baby, but she really helped with IT, and she found a hack for any problem that we might have, because we had a Shopify solution, but just the basic one. So, for example, if you can't send certain products abroad, she had to block it so that the people don't see that you can't send gin to America or whatever from Switzerland. And she always said, I will see what I can do there, how I can hack that. So that's cool. And we mustn't forget the ESPAS lab and the trainees. Everyone helped us pack.
Sometimes.
It was really a bit chaotic, but they were all there trying and following everything. The lab gave us space, and they never complained, even though Camberley overflowed one end. We had so many products and stuff. Of course, we had also internally support from communication, from Benny, and also from legal. I think they were much sometimes surprised what we were doing and everything, but still, they tried to understand and to help us further. So I think internally we also had a lot of support, and thanks to everyone who has supported us so far. Yeah, thanks for believing and pushing. Everyone's really behind us. And of course, I mustn't forget my job sharing partner, Nicole, who also said, Julie, you can do it. You can go on. And Hans, my ex-boss, who always said, well, it's worth a try. So I think we really had great support.
That's a long list, to be honest. And it seems like it's basically sometimes doesn't matter if it's a if it's inside or outside a large conversation, you have to have people around you who believes in this thing you actually do and the support that they can give you. This
is something
what it's
really
all about.
This inner fire or this kind of feeling that we're doing something new, some new business.
When we have a deeper look at the, experience, we discussed that it's not... Or I mentioned it's not really about just delivering Swiss products to, let's say, the other side of the world. It's way more than that. What's the design of your offer that you build?
Well, originally we aimed at tourists and expats living abroad. Of course, because of the corona, we couldn't really access the tourists so much. But still, we had a lot of people that found out about it through social media and stuff, and they thought, now I can finally get the products I want. And that's part of the thing that we really wanted to be able to offer products that were made in Switzerland. That's very important. We don't want to offer stuff that's made somewhere else and then just has a Swiss flag on it or something. It really had to be an authentic. And so the experience has to be, you're in Switzerland, you're with Swiss merchants, you really have a bit of Switzerland, which you can then transport to your home. And a lot of people were buying vermicell for their kids for Christmas, stuff like that, so they could give their kids a bit like I import tea from England. I know you can get tea here, but it's not the same. And it's important that they could give a bit of Switzerland to their families and friends, and it became also a gift service that people could buy stuff in our shop that they knew was really from Switzerland, made in Switzerland, and... then they bring it home. So that's very important to us, not just another online shop, but to offer this whole Swiss experience.
A few episodes ago, I had a chat with Christoph, who's CDO at Chrisports, and who described his approach of launching web shops. And I remembered a few discussions we had, and you already mentioned that you used Shopify as your platform. Probably too easy question, but usually, large corporations start building their own things, and you didn't do it. How was it possible not to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I come from IT, so it's I know it's very easy to spend a lot of money producing a platform. But for me, it was more important to test the need. Is there really a need for people for Swiss products? Or there are many platforms in the internet, but do people really want this kind of experience? And are the merchants willing to partner with us? Do they really want to offer their goods through our shop, or do they do it themselves? And this need from both sides, we wanted to see if POST could really bridge that gap between those two. And if I spend like 2 years building a platform, I still won't know if that need exists. So for me, it was very important to start as soon as possible under the dach of Swiss Post, but still offer this and see if there is a need out there.
Can you probably just give us a number? How expensive would it be to build some kind of web shop you have now just by your own at Swiss Post, and instead of just leasing the whole machine from Shopify?
Yeah, I mean, we only have the cheap Shopify solution.
How much
course.
Is that?
This, we paid 8,000 a year for that.
Okay, and if you would build something up like that?
If you would build something yourself, well, then you're not just paying a license, then you have to have the whole platform and everything behind. Of course, then everything is here on-premise. Yeah. But then, I mean, we were talking to people at IT how we should do this, because it's still a question whether longer term we should have the platform ourselves or work with Shopify. Although Shopify is used by thousands of shops in the internet, so it's not a new thing. But in terms of risk and everything, we have to be sure that it's the right thing. But for a pilot, it's fine. But we're talking like hundreds of thousands of.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Yeah, okay. So it's a big.
So you took Shopify, and then you start to build up the shop. So which products did you offer in the very beginning, and how did you manage to find out which are the right ones?
So there we had a lot of help from Philip and Katerina, but we started with the products that were mentioned in the study, in the market study, because there we asked people what they're missing from Switzerland, what they want. Of course, there are the foodstuffs like cheese and chocolate and certain pastetli and other things that people really want that are missing, and Swiss wine and stuff like that. And then on the other side, gift products. So they want to also have these potato peelers, schere.
Scissors.
No, you peel potatoes with it.
Ah, this is a Swiss thing?
Yeah, that's a Swiss thing you can buy. And people really want those kind of things, and to give them to their friends. Someone actually bought six of those, only that. Six of
Seriously?
Those potato peelers. I guess they must have been presents for his friends. He can't use them all himself. But,
I guess.
Yeah, okay. So that's we started like that, and then we asked people during the journey. They had the chance to give product requests. What do they miss? What do they want? What do they want to buy in the shop? And that's how we build up the whole thing. So we started with just Migros, Coop, a few, and then now we have more than 18 merchants as partners, and we have a waiting list of people that want to join the platform. So,
how did you get this feedback? Which products to add to your webshop?
I mean, we had a product request formula on the website where people could enter what they're missing and stuff. We also have an email address where people could contact us for support. I guess what was missing was a telephone number for a further pilot. We need a telephone number where people can call us.
You already mentioned if your margins can be Micro Coop. So you somehow partnered up with these companies. How exactly does it work? And what did you tell them that they agreed to partner with you?
I mean, it was only a first pilot, that's what we said, and we wanted to test the market, which, of course, they're all interested to export their products to the world. And most of them don't have that ability because they don't have the resources or the time, and they're concentrated, as we said, on Switzerland. Actually, we went through our sales organization at Post to get the right people within these organizations, because you can imagine in Migros, for example, there are a lot of people. You have to make sure that you quickly get to the right person who can help you and who wants to partner with you.
And probably for people who are not living in Switzerland, you have to a little bit describe what Migros and Coop is.
Yeah, they are supermarkets. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
So if you want to talk to, it's a big supermarket, and if you want to talk to the people there.
Migros and Coop are the largest, two
yeah,
largest
that's
ones
right.
in Switzerland.
And then
right?
we have also Aldi and other supermarket chains as well. But we decided to go with the two that yeah, people living outside of Switzerland, expats, they know Migros and Coop, so it's more for them. Yeah.
So you used our internal resources and know-how and people and connections to these companies to pitch.
Yeah, and then we pitched the idea, and then after that, they said, what do you need? And we said, well, we need 10-15 products, because we had to limit what we could have in the website to start with, and we need pictures in good quality. And prices, of course, yeah.
Pictures and press are probably very important to have, especially pictures.
Yeah, we had a few problems with a few people, and we had to make sure that the photographs were really good, because if, in the website, if you don't see good photos, then you don't know what the product is, and it's a bad experience.
So let's see, you have a shop, you talk to companies and you get the products and you have the pictures and the data, and now you set up your web shop. So how did you get people to go to this web shop? Because it's only one web shop of, I don't know, probably millions in the whole world. How do you get traffic on this?
Yeah, so it was very iterative. We started because we had to do a lot of internal discussions, as I said before. So we started with just a website where you could register for the online shop that's coming. So then on Facebook, people are discussing this in various groups in the UK and Germany. We found, where can I buy this? Where can I buy this? So there was a real need there. So there we could also post a message saying, register here, and when the shop goes online, you can buy your products there. That was how we started. And then when we went online, of course, we informed those people again because we had their email addresses. They had to register with the email. And then after that, we really used different advertising platforms to make people aware of our platform.
So hold on. So the first very step was to have some kind of landing page where people could register, and to push this website, you basically went to some Facebook groups, and when people asked for specific Swiss products, you mentioned this page.
Yes, exactly.
When the webshop started, you started to to start with paid ads.
Yeah, we did some marketing. Of course, in Facebook, we contacted all those people in those groups. There's like a Swiss Texas group, and there are many groups of Swiss people around the world. And USA was a big market for us, and that was said in the market study, and it is so, that people in America, Swiss people and other people, they really want the Swiss product.
How many people are we talking about? So basically Swiss interested people or Swiss people outside Switzerland?
Yeah, I don't know how many people there are, but we did do a paid ad in the Swiss Review. That's something that goes to everyone who is Swiss that's living outside Switzerland. And that goes to 600,000.
Okay, that's quite a number.
I'm sure there are more, but these are the people that are registered and get that information. So, but on these Facebook groups, there were also groups of like 3,000 people who have an affinity to Switzerland, in New York, Washington, everywhere. In London, there are some groups. We started with a small market just around and USA.
It was, when I remember correctly, it was the first three markets were Germany, France and the United States.
Yeah, and UK.
And UK.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You already mentioned you did some advertising on Facebook.
Yeah.
You posted, let's say, organically in Facebook groups. And anything else?
Yeah, we also tried a lot of different marketing things, because that was always a question also from the people who invested in our project. How will people get to know about the shop? Because there's so much stuff in the internet. So we tried on this Schweizer Review, this print magazine.
The magazine, right, yeah.
Then we tried on other websites like local.com, which is also accessed by Swiss people in different countries. Then we had, we partnered with someone on Instagram, Visit Switzerland. That's one of the biggest Swiss connected groups, and he really helped us. And we also connected the shop there in Instagram, so that was cool. You could directly buy Toblerone or whatever out of
Visit Switzerland.
Yeah, Visit
so
Switzerland.
So let's give him some credits if you want to join this page as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he has some amazing photos there. So, and through connections, we got him on board, and he was very excited to help us. And yeah, it worked out very well. But social media is really where our customers are. I have to say that some of the printed ads, they looked nice, but it didn't give the same response.
If you look in terms of conversions, so of how did you convert from an advertising to go to your web shop? Let's not discuss now about how much product they bought and really went through to the checkout process, but just the conversion from seeing an ad, go to the webpage. Which channel did work for you best?
I would say the paid ads on Facebook. There we, one example is we paid 50 francs for clicks and people going. And then we got 35 people putting stuff in the basket in our shop. If you look at that, that means that we reached about over 3,000 people.
For 50 francs.
Yeah. And yeah, this is actually very good figures. This means a conversion rate of 1 franc 43, which is very good for online shopping. So it means there is really a need out there for people to buy from us.
Especially if the amount in the basket is probably 1, 2, 3, 400 or how.
Yeah,
whatever.
We were really surprised with that. Firstly, we were surprised by how many people really want this stuff, of course. But also, I mean, people didn't buy just one thing. I mean, people bought 20, 30 articles and they were paying like 120, or one guy, he paid 350 for all his stuff. People didn't mind. I think if you really need something, then you're not worried to spend money. And I think they trusted us, so they knew it would arrive.
What we learned so far is that you had an amazing team, people supporting you, helping you. With the people, you really shaped this product of making it an authentic Swiss experience, aiming for a very, very specific, for specific customers, let's put it this way. So Swiss people outside of Switzerland, or probably also tourists who were in Switzerland and misses Swiss product, especially if they cannot go anywhere or visit Switzerland during this pandemic. And so you build up a web shop. You started with a few products. You partnered with Swiss companies who are, well, today not really aiming for an international market, but nevertheless are curious enough to partner up with you. And then you started to generate traffic. So you did it. You did several things. The one thing I learned was some kind of organic way. So finding these Swiss related Facebook groups and specifically getting in touch with your customers, with your people, and also with this printed magazine, 600,000 copies worldwide. And the partnership with this Instagram Visit Switzerland fan page, and also Facebook ads, which you said was the most successful one. Mm-hmm. 43 for a conversion from, well, seeing this to go to the web page. This is something I got so far. Let's have a deeper look. So I'm on this page. And regarding to your project time, how many orders did you have so far?
Well, actually, we had what I now think is very small aims at the beginning. We thought we would have 30 purchases, but we had over 120. I mean, the whole project was
120.
Yeah.
In which time phase?
Yeah, in 2.5 months.
In 2.5 months. Yeah. Okay.
People were, as I say, buying a lot, and we were doing the logistics at the back end ourselves. So. Yeah, we had to kind of limit things a bit because if it had escalated too much, then we wouldn't have been able to pack all the orders and offer the customer feedback that they wanted, that customers could be happy and stuff. So, now we want to escalate it and make it possible that more and more people can buy. And
what I would like to know is also, what were your expectations about the value of the purchases?
Yeah, at the beginning, we were not too sure, and we thought, people would be put off by the shipping costs, or, you know, even though you pay the full cost, people are not going to buy some Zweifel chips and then pay 100 francs to ship it to wherever they are. But in the end, people were buying really a lot. And at the beginning, we thought maybe they would spend like 50 francs or something like that. But in the end, people were, as I said, 150. Some guys spent 350. We had also recurring customers, people coming back. We now have people writing to us, when are you coming back online? I need to order some stuff for Easter. Will you have Easter products? I hope we're back online then for Easter. I mean, it's really...
It's a cool thing.
It's a really cool thing. And as you can see, it's very motivating. When you get that kind of feedback from your customers, then you think, wow, we're doing a great thing. And
So on average, what was the value of the orders?
130 in the basket.
130 francs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's quite...
That's a lot, yeah. It's a lot of chocolate.
Especially when you think about you get them only for 143 from Renate to your webpage.
Exactly.
130 francs.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought I know a lot about this project, but I did not know that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good return, yeah.
Definitely. And if you can give us a few examples, what did the people order?
Everyone ordered... Always ordered this chocolate from Migros, from the supermarket, Frey chocolate. Frey, yeah. And sometimes people bought it like 10 bars of something, and vermicelle, and I learned a lot about all these Swiss products that I've never tasted before, even though I've been here a long time. And but cheese was not, we always were told in the survey that people want cheese, and Migros Germany, they have a good success rate to export cheese. But people didn't want that. We didn't offer it in our shop, even though we have the chance in the future to offer it if we want. But we didn't feel that people felt that the cheese would ever arrive, maybe because of the corona or that it would take too long. And even fondue, which comes in a packet, which doesn't go off fast. Still, people didn't really want that. Nobody ordered that. So, people were ordering more gifts for their kids and also... smaller companies in Switzerland who offer like handcrafted chocolates, Eichenberg and people like that, that no one has heard of if they've never been to Bern. Still, when they see it in the shop and they see that it's handcrafted chocolate, and then people buy it. Almost every time someone bought something, they also bought something from one of these smaller companies in Switzerland. And those companies wouldn't really have the chance to export their products abroad. Okay. So it's very cool for them as well.
So can you also say a little bit the average number of items the people had in their basket?
Yeah, I mean, that the trainees from Espaslav know well, that's, for each item, there were like a lot of items and multiple amounts of each item. So we're talking like, I think on average, 10 items per. So there we had really the problem of the right size of box. We even made a box to fit once some products together with the trainees and Katharina. That was perfect because it's difficult to get things that where we want to make sure that the crisps, for example, the Zweifel chips, that they arrive in one piece and not flat, because that kind of takes away the customer satisfaction.
Of course. The average number of order is like, so you were about 2.5 months, you had 125 orders, so it's about... Let's say around about 2 orders each day,
Less. Yeah, I mean, at the moment, of course, we want to escalate that so that we have 20, 30 more orders per day. But as I say, it's a learning exercise and we wanted to move forward to know what can we offer and what works and what doesn't. And if we have so many orders, then we're just concentrating on the logistics and not the whole learning experience.
Yeah. How did you exactly manage the logistics, like the getting the stuff and packing it and sending it to some place in the world?
So we had great support from our partners. Once a week at the moment, we contacted them. In the future, it probably will be more every day or hopefully or whatever.
Every hour.
But we contacted them and said, these have been ordered. Please send them to Espas, to Wankdorf, where we're working, to the head of post offices. And here, people, all the merchants sent their stuff, and then for the supermarkets, they put together the orders and we could pick it up. So every week I was going to the co-op center, to the supermarket center, and they'd put together everything in a basket, in a crate, and we could take it back to the lab. And we came back to the lab, and then we were always looking for people to help pack. We got a lot of boxes, and then of course, not to forget, when you send products to the USA, if there are food products, you need to fill in all the registration forms and everything to make sure that it comes. So you have to tell them in advance what you're sending. There, Urs was a great help. And I guess it becomes automatic after a time, but it still takes time to do that. We need to automate that in the future. And then we had our logistics partner coming around 4 p.m. to pick up all the boxes, because then it goes directly to export and it doesn't first go to the local post office and then to another post office. And then much faster. So then the people get the stuff much faster.
How much time did it usually take when, let's say, if I'm, I had this one guy from, I think it was South Dakota, which I packed the stuff for him. And from the moment I finished the packing, how much time did it take to be that this package is in South Dakota?
I mean, we for America, we were using Express. So it took, even because of Corona, even due to Corona, it took us 3 to 5 days to reach the people.
That's pretty quick.
So that was fast. So people were very happy. Of course, when they order, it still takes a few days to process their order and everything. But still, within 10 days after ordering, they had...
I guess, and I'm pretty sure that is true because of the obvious numbers, there was no margin so far. So what is the idea? How to get money out of it?
Well, we will make money on the partnerships with our customers, with our merchants, because we're offering them a service. So they will give us margins on the products that they sell. So we don't want to be in competition with them. So in terms of what you see in the website, it will be the same cost as if you'd bought it in the shop for them. But they would, because we are doing the shipping and everything for them, then they will give us a margin on their products. And also the shipping, we are Swiss Post, so there we will make some money. And of course, the more stuff that we can send, we can do it in bulk, so we will make even more money in that respect. Yeah. But it's not all about money, it's also about the experience. I mean, anyone can open a web shop, but it has to be in the right way. And it has to be supported in the right way. And we really want to offer that Swiss experience.
Let's take a new step. A few people know that there was a discussion and a pitch you had because we at Swiss Post, we started with a new organization January 1st. And so the Swiss Authentic Shop, this whole thing, had a sponsor last year for this duration of about 2.5 months. And now you're looking for a new investor or a new sponsor. And there are currently a few discussions going on. If you want to tell and share, what is the current situation? Will you have a new sponsor or will you not?
Well, it's very interesting because, of course, me and the team, we are completely behind this project and we think it's great. So we've done some marketing for it internally, but it's true. Last week we had a discussion with the new parts of logistics services, how they could support us going on.
Just to make sure that people know, logistics services is one. No, it's our major business unit at Swiss Post, where the whole logistics of letters, of parcels, everything is being organized there.
Yes. So we pitched it to them and, well, they were really impressed by what we have achieved in the time and all the different things that we managed to do, being able to accept credit cards and the logistics and everything. And yeah, they were very impressed by what we have to do and they would like to support us longer term with the money. But we need to do some more internal pitching to get some more people on board, do some more marketing. Hopefully this podcast will also do some marketing for us.
I hope so.
And I think they like the spirit of the whole thing, that we didn't spend 2 years creating a platform, but we just went on the market and see what happens. Of course, we didn't just, it's not just our idea. We also took facts from doing a market study with people who know, talk to customers, talk to merchants. And I think the whole, as I said before, the whole fire came over to the customers and to the merchants, and everyone wants to know what's happening. Last week, we also had two discussions with all the merchants that helped us, and they were all saying, how can we help you to market the service further? So Camberley did this for us on their website. They also advertise, as I said, for Swiss Authentic Shop, but other companies also want to do that for us and have other ideas how we could move on and market the whole thing and make it even more successful.
Can you share a little bit for how much money are you asking for or aiming for? And what are you going to do with this money?
Yeah, I mean, the exact figures I wouldn't like to share, but
nevertheless, I asked.
But we want to use the money for the logistics costs and for the marketing. The marketing is something. Actually, originally we budgeted 250,000 for marketing, and we never used that. As you see, we use 50 francs in Facebook for Facebook ads, and that was a great learning experience for me, because I'm not a marketing expert or anything. I never knew how much it costs to do marketing. I always thought it would cost a lot, but we just proved that with very little money you can really achieve a lot if you get the right market and if you have the right team and if you have the right people supporting you. So a lot, most of the money that we need is for that. And the rest is internal resources. We really want to do it internally and not hire external consultants and stuff, and really use all the expertise that we have at Swiss Post to move the project further and then see where it fits in the new organization. After the pilot, we need to see in which parts or combination of parts how it fits for a new business for Post, if it fits, and how we go forward.
And then step by step, of course, building a business out of it and to scale it up.
Yes.
In order to have some...
That's very important, to do it step by step and not, as I said, create some huge thing which then will die.
Which is the usual corporate way. Let's put it this way. Probably not at Swiss Post, but...
I've worked for other companies and... it's different to a startup. Because you don't have that money. In a corporation, you have more money.
Let's take three quick questions for the end. Which experience, let's say, is your guiding star?
Actually, I have two. One, I started at IBM, as you said, and I was working on a project for about a year, and we worked till midnight most times. And it was a fun experience. And then just before it was about to launch, the management decided, we were never told the reasons, we won't do this project anymore. And I was so disappointed. I thought, I invested hours in this and it's all for nothing. But then after a few days, I thought, well, I gained a lot of experience, and so let's move on to the next thing. And the same thing happened when I was at Swisscom. I was managing a big project with a big team, and I was working with an external company, and also that we invested a lot of time in business plans and everything. And then in the end, they decided we don't want to partner with Swisscom. And but I learned so much from that. And I think that's really part of me, that whatever you do in life, you have to enjoy the experience and push it. And if it isn't successful, you've learned so much. And the next time you come to it, it's like a serial entrepreneur. You always have new ideas, and there's always something to learn from the experience. But as a 22-year-old programmer at the time, I was so disappointed. I remember I was thinking, I think this isn't the work for me. This isn't the job for me. I'm still in this business years later. So
glad to still have you here. So let's ignore the idea or the business and just zoom out. Who would be your favorite investor you would like to pitch him or her an idea, no matter what it is?
I actually met Jeff Bezos from Amazon years ago at a conference. And I always imagined him to be different to how he is, but he's kind of a really a normal guy. And he's a millionaire. So, I mean, he's really
successful. Billionaire.
Yeah, billionaire. And I would love to meet him again. I've never met him again, but he was just talking to me. Then I thought, that's Jeff. He's just like such a normal guy. And other people, they change when they become billionaires or whatever. But he was just a normal guy. He's going to retire now, I think. Mm-hmm. I would love to meet again with him and talk to him, because he was so interested in me and in my ideas. And he didn't know me. And I'm sure he doesn't know me anymore. But it was just... He was just at a conference and just talking to people as if he was just like anyone else there. And I think he would be someone who I would love to have on board in the future for any things or ideas that I have.
If he listens by any chance to this podcast, he might want to reach out to you. Or, of course, to me. Then I can forward this to you.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
At the Espace Lab entrance, we reserved some space for you. Which quote may we note here?
Yeah, my quote, it has to be, if at first you don't succeed, try again. I think this was actually, I looked it up, this comes from Robert the Bruce, King of Scotland, before he went into battle with the English. But it's been used to write songs and all kinds of things now. There is a song from Aaliyah that came out in 2000. And she also wrote about that, try again. So I think that's part of me, should never give up. There's always something around the corner. Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed, try again. Julie McMood, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Khalil.